Welcome to VFN Radio. Good day. Yes, it is that day that Southerners say it's Friday. Friday. Of course, I heard some Tennesseans last night on the news. They sound a little bit Southern than those that are in the Deep South. Yes, I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me as co-host always on VFN Radio is the producer of VFN Radio, the one who is amazing, whose brain melts every time I ask him for one more thing. I'm just hoping his contacts just don't melt together. We're in trouble if any of those things melt together. Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And the man behind the scenes bringing VFN Radio to the next level, setting the torch on fire so others can carry it beyond our daily broadcast and bringing revelation to the table. Yes, John Paul Ramos.
Hello.
Hola. ¿Cómo está? Welcome. Welcome to VFN Radio. Today we're going to be talking about some news behind the news, God's news behind the news. Remember, it's not enough to know it's not enough to know the news, but you need to know what to do with the news you know. Don't be terrified. Be strong. Be courageous. God has something to say about the craziness that we're seeing in our headlines today, all the way from Israel to cabinet choices to possible secretary of defenses to shootings and others. Hopefully we'll cover some of that today. I don't know if you noticed, the Super Bowl is coming up. Brothers are coaching both teams. Mm-hmm. A brother on both teams. Brothers from the same mother. Also going to be talking about more on intercession or intercessors, understanding the gift that God's given us all to intercede. A little bit about, hopefully we tried yesterday, but a little bit about comparing Sodom and Gomorrah with where we are today, or Chorazim. It's like, what is our perspective? What do we do with that? Some humorous moments, wisdom moments, so much more. It's going to be an awesome day. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Can you believe it's Friday? It is a Friday.
All right.
It is amazing, isn't it? It is so totally amazing. This is a journey. This week was a journey for me. It wasn't a journey for me spiritually, but maybe it was a journey for me spiritually, but physically. Oh my goodness.
Spiritual?
It was, man, that's what it was. That's what it was.
I was
suffering for the cause of Christ. I know that you know, some people say, I'm suffering for Jesus. I'm suffering from Jesus. And of course, if you already looked at it, it says, well, I'm just suffering because of my own ignorance.
Yeah.
But one day I will suffer. You know, one day I will suffer.
That's right.
And I don't say that anymore. I think at least one or two of them could have been. At least one or two of those things could have. Come on, please, please. Come on. Some of that. Some of that. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. And also I want to encourage you that, yes, we love the fact that you're listening to VFN Radio and you're getting teachings from VFN TV. But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You are disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, there's so many people, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers. And they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God, you can go back and watch that on BFN TV maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, mm-hmm. who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ. You loved each other. You ate together. You blessed each other. You blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so, when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name, and it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go, and there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me. So I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, serving, helping him or her carry that load. And if I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you. John.
Hey.
Is God good or what?
Yes, He is. My goodness, I have a heavy little miracle story to share with you. Want to hear about it?
Oh, you're talking. Yes, I was going to talk about. How do you know? How did you know? I was going to talk about how good He was and is.
Yes. You know, the Lord is extremely and abundantly good. You know,
to John Paul, to everybody, but it's amazing. He gets extra miracles because of his personality. That's so
unfair.
Amazing. That's so unfair, isn't it?
That's
right?
So unfair.
He's like, I got to give John like 4 or 5 extra ones, you know. You know.
Well, this I've had a ton of miracles. This is true. This is true. But this miracle is not about one that was for me. But I heard this great, amazing story. You know, last week, we were been talking about abortion and Roe versus Wade and just how disgraceful they were celebrating it. And we talked about how Justin Bieber's mother had a chance to abort her child, and she did, and how she's now supporting, you know, women keeping their child and their babies and promoting, you know, pro-life. And then we also talked about Jane Roe, who her real name is Norma McCorvey. We talked about the story behind the story of Roe versus Wade. But I want to share with you this miracle. I had a wonderful chance to talk with Asya. You may be familiar.
Asya
has, you know, been a part of the fellowship. Mm-hmm. And her granddaughter, if you knew this, her granddaughter.
What language does she speak?
Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Spanish.
Good morning,
she's from the Dominican Republic. She cooks great, by the way.
¿Cómo está?
Beautiful, beautiful lady. Well, her granddaughter, her daughter was telling me the story that when she was pregnant with her daughter, the doctors told her that, listen, this child is going to be a sickly, sickly baby. This child's going to have Down syndrome. And three doctors were encouraging her to abort the baby. Says, you don't need to have this baby. This baby's going to have a lot of problems, you know, and you just need to get rid of the baby. And she thought that was just so devastating. It broke her heart. You know, she has two boys, and she's prayed for a little girl, and she now has, you know, pregnant with a little girl, and the doctors are trying to tell her to abort this child. And she says, no, I'm not going to abort the child. I'm not going to get rid of the child. If God wants me to have this baby, I'm going to have this baby. I'm going to love this baby. I'm going to take care of this baby, but I'm going to love the baby that God gives me. And so I'm listening to this story, and I realize that she's talking about her little girl that's standing right in front of me that plays with my little girl. This baby was born without Down syndrome, even though the doctor
praise God
awesome. Down syndrome. And she is just a beautiful little girl. We call her Chiquita. That's her nickname. Means little girl. And she is just, I mean, I picked her up and held her. I said, oh my, this is a miracle baby. And her mom just, you know, the whole family loves this child. And just, you know, it's just beautiful to see God's miracle power. Listen, it's not over. You know, when doctors are saying, and they're doing their best. They're practitioners. They're practicing medicine, right? But God is the great physician. And we got to trust God. We got to trust God. I put our complete faith in the Lord. And this is a woman who said, I refuse to get rid of my baby. I'm not going to listen to the doctors. If God wants me to have it, I'm going to keep this baby. And this baby came out just beautifully healthy. Mm. In fact, she was born premature. And there was a price to pay. She was telling me how 3-4 times a week she'd have to go to the hospital because the baby was only like 3 pounds when the baby was first born. And it was such an amazing just price that she paid, you know, mother's love and just being there, you know, to nurse and take care of the child. But and the baby's just right there. I'm looking at her. In fact, she celebrates her birthday is the same exact birthday as my daughter. So they're going to be doing something special this year. Yeah, she's going to turn 3 years old. And we just celebrate the miracle of life and the miracle of what God did for this little girl. And just absolutely beautiful. Beautiful.
That is so awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank
God, good. Just,
Yeah, I like the way you just, how you describe her spirit, how sweet her spirit is. Well, yeah. I wasn't talking about that miracle. I was talking about another miracle.
The one
that you received.
Again.
Don't you remember?
Come on, man.
Help me.
You were driving across the plains of America in the storms, and we're talking about the goodness of God in the land of the living. And we were talking about, this is what happened, Pat.
Obviously, he's got amnesia.
So, you know, we're talking about the Lord and all these wonderful things that God's doing, and all of a sudden he's in all this traffic. I don't know, probably 8 lanes of traffic. I'm imagining. I can ask him when we finish talking about him. and all of a sudden, he just interrupts our conversation with, "Oh no!" And I'm thinking, "Oh my goodness,
what happened?
Maybe he can't reach the accelerator." I'm thinking, "What's going on? What's going on right here?"
Get another phone book. Quick.
Yeah, go. That pillow thing may have slid out. And so I'm thinking, this is dangerous in traffic. You know, you got to be able to reach those pedals. And all of a sudden, I didn't know what it was. And finally, he let me know that he was out of gas.
Oh, are you serious?
He was out of gas, and he was like, it was raining. I can tell it was raining because his wipers were going, boom, boom. His phone picks up so good. I'm like,
everything.
I'm not going to get on a rabbit trail because I'd be lost. But anyway, and it was just over. He's going to be stuck on the side of the road in the middle of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, another state because he was heading back to his state. And he prayed. I'll say, okay, I'll let you go.
Bye.
Let me know how it goes.
I'm sure you know you can wear this puppy out. I'll let you go. And, you know, we just said a prayer for him. Dear God, help John.
Those don't seem to work.
And next thing you know, I get a phone call and he gives me a testimony that God just caused the car to begin to run on fumes. It ran on fumes all the way to a gas station.
Oh my God.
And he got gas.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That has never happened for me.
No. Well, John gets extra miracles.
He gets extra credit.
He gets totally extra miracles. You know, you're just too smart. John and I need a lot more miracles than you.
We need a lot of miracles.
Yeah, that's amazing. So back to you, John.
Actually, it was. The car stuck.
You didn't look at the gas gauge.
Rain. Gas, and I got caught up talking to Mr. You Know Who, and so we're having this in-depth conversation. We're having such a great conversation. Oh my goodness, I forgot to get gas. So.
He knew this because his car began to jerk all over the road. Not because he looked in the direction of the gas gauge.
Needle, yeah.
Hiccups. And so it was an experience. It was an experience, to say the least.
I'll be right back.
You know, if you're out there and you're listening and, you know, you find that life is empty and you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. You know, you're working a good job. You went to school. You're married. You have a family. You have children. And you know what? Things still don't seem to quite satisfy. And it still seems like, you know, there's a big hole in your heart. I want to encourage you. There is hope today. You know, there is a hope through relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you can meet Him at Meet My Father. You know, the world is hungry. And I can tell you, I was in the same place. I can relate. You know, I went to school. I did all the right things that you were supposed to do. But yet, deep down in my heart, I still had such a huge hole and no amount of everything the world had to offer me. And I did it all. Was never satisfying. And still, at the end of the day, I still was missing my relationship with God. You know, if that's you, if that's you, let me tell you, you can meet him. You can go to meetmyfather.org and you can meet my father and you can begin this journey of understanding and knowing him personally. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey him. We call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survive in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology, and it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We're just talking about the excess miracles that have been pushed John's way because of all the challenges he faces in his life. It's just amazing. He is our sign. He is our wonder. And we're just so excited. We get encouraged by all the things that God does in his life. Amazing.
Amen.
Well, it is time. I want to tell you guys, it is time for the USSSSS. Citizens. Yes.
Wow. Wow.
I've been trying to get them to do an intro to this, but I had to do my own then because it's like, hey, they're not going to get this intro done. You know, something exciting. We only have 100 questions.
Need an intro.
Yeah, we need an intro. This is the
USSSSSS. Let's get ready to rumble, right?
That's about what it's like.
Oh, yeah. He knows how
rumblings,
to do that.
Rumblings instead of answers. Well, of course, here's the test. Five questions from the U.S. citizenship test today. Off the 100 question test to be able to become a United States citizen. Of course, we already know now. And I just heard, by the way, it was just reporting on the news last night that 65% or something like that Americans didn't understand or know that the U.S. Constitution was the supreme law of the land.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
luckily, a couple of weeks ago, we did. We do now.
We know this now.
We do because we've taken the test. If you've missed these tests, listen, we do five questions at a time. We humiliate ourselves little by little, not just one big, huge humiliation. And we are taking the citizenship test ourselves, or at least I'm giving it to Pat and John.
Thank you.
And you know, as I'm like, anyway, so we're learning as we go. We're learning as we go, and we're so surprised that the only ones who really knew anything about America are the ones who just became citizens. Congress don't know, you know, the representatives don't know, Senate don't know, the judiciary branch don't know, the president doesn't know, governors don't know. It's like, but you know, thank God, you know, we know. And so this is how it works. I'm going to ask five questions off the U.S. citizenship test. This is question number 71 through 75, but it's five today. And of course, if in fact you get, I'm going to give you time to think. You always get time to think. And just take your time, but hurry up because we only have a short program here to be able to do this on. While you're thinking, after the question's answered, you're going to hear. Exactly. And you can think as long as you want to, but as soon as you have your final answer, you're ready to go, let us know. Or the music stops, you got to be ready to go. Ready to go?
Let's do it.
Let's do this thing. Of course, if you get it right, and Pat really loves this part, sometimes he asks for a standing ovation. Yes. And of course, if you get it wrong, which I've, I think John got one wrong three times last time.
It's the same question.
Same question. Like, stop when you're behind. Stop when you're behind. Okay, here is question numero uno for El Diaz, right? Mm-hmm. There it is. Question one, John, off the U.S. citizenship test. What territory did the United States buy from France in 1803? Ask it again. What territory did the United States buy from France in 1803? Wonderful. Here he goes. There's the question, John, to you from the U.S. citizenship test, so you will not have to self-deport. Is what territory? What? I'm punched. Hold on a minute. Jiminy crickets.
he's
is that your final answer? Is that your final? Is that your final answer? You gotta wait the questions ask. Wait the question ask. This is not time to talk about other things. What territory did the United States buy from France in 1803.
Okay, wanted to make sure the year was
correct. Oh, come on.
All right, that's what I wanted clarification.
This is a man that can't remember put gas in his name. Right, like, 1800 what? 1800 what?
Wouldn't that be the Louisiana Purchase?
Yay! Yes. All the Midwestern states, you're looking at part of Montana and North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, part of Wyoming, part of Colorado, Kansas, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Iowa, you know, parts of Iowa.
And, a deal there.
Yeah. And wow. It's amazing. That was just the center of the United States that was purchased at that point. Pat's having a learning moment.
Why does France own part of our country?
Well, remember, it wasn't ours to begin with. We just took it.
But we were living
That's
here.
That's another test. That was another test. That was another
interesting.
Test. Okay, Pat, here is your question on the U.S. citizenship test for today. So you will not have to self-deport from between the two smokestacks. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1800s. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1800s. Wow. Okay.
Wow, that was
cool. Is this going to be your final answer?
Final answer.
Good.
Okay. Here's the question. What? Name one scientific experiment. Name one war fought by the United States in the 1800s.
Well, that would be the Civil War.
War.
Very good. Very good. Of course, that would be, one of them would be the Civil War. It wouldn't be just the Civil War, right?
That's the one I know.
Hey, that works.
It works.
That works. John, you want to take one, just a shot at one of these other wars?
I don't like showing off.
That means he doesn't know.
Oh, here's the war's fault in the 1800s. It is the War of 1812. The War of 1812, which is pretty, 1800s, right?
Mm-hmm.
War of 1812.
Counts.
Hey. The next one was the Mexican-American War.
Oh.
You knew that, right?
Hmm. He's quiet. He's so quiet. The Civil War. That's pretty important, right? The Civil War and the Spanish-American War. That was really good.
Wow.
That was really, really good.
I would have never known that.
Yes. 1800s. Because the 1900s, obviously you know what those are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then here we are. Question number next. John.
Number next.
Name for, this is the U.S. citizenship test, that you have to pass this test to be able to be a U.S. citizen, but you don't have to pass it to be a congressman or the president.
Obviously.
Wow.
Here it is. Name, and by the way, they swear to take an oath to defend this thing.
But they don't know.
They don't know it, or they deny its existence. Mm. I deny I've ever known that it existed. Okay. Name the U.S. war, John, name the U.S. war between the North and the South. Name the U.S. war between the North and the South. Oh, here we are. This is your final answer?
Final answer.
Okay, here it is. Here's the question. The question is, name the U.S. war between the North and the South.
Alex, for 1,000, I'm going to say the Civil War.
Yes. It's so important because that was the war between the states. That's when states are fighting states.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it pretty well divided between the North and the South, but it was when states were fighting the states. And that's why you see people who fly flags to represent that season of our nation is really, you got to really think about that. You're flying a flag to say, hey, I'm celebrating a divided country.
Right.
Bad times. We want to be careful what we're, sometimes people do it ignorantly.
Mm-hmm.
And some people do it intentionally. But we don't want to be able to we are the United States, not the divided states of America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was a real, real tough time in American history. And we got some questions coming up about that next. Pat, question number next.
Oh, he's good at that.
From the U.S. citizenship test is, name one problem, just one, because there were several. Name one problem that led to the Civil War. Name one problem that led to America's Civil War. Okay, this is your final answer, right?
That's it.
Here it is. From the U.S. citizenship test, name one problem, just one of them, that led to the Civil War.
Slavery.
Hey!
You can think of three things, slavery, economic reasons, and state rights. But yet they were all intertwined between the economy that was built on the backs of African Americans in our country.
Mm.
And so when you see people talking about economy at the same time they're talking about slavery, it makes sense.
Mm.
Sure.
It makes sense. And so it's fair for all of Americans to listen to the economic equations and possible remedies of things that was done in our country to remedy, to make it right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And because what you had was, you had some states that wanted to keep their economies that was built on the backs of African Americans. That's what they were wanting to do. And that so money was made because many African Americans labored in the fields for that to be able to make that kind of money. So you got economy and you got slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had state rights, because states were saying, you can't tell us what to do. We're going to continue to act like this. And we're going to continue to oppress our brothers. Mm. They didn't say brothers. That's what the, but the North was going like, you can't do that. You got to find some other way. But they had the manufacturing aspect. They were actually, you know, taking advantage of children in the North and working them young in the factories and doing things like that. But their economy was based off machines. Mm-hmm. And down South, it was based off of men. And so they just had a different form of industry. The question is, if they wouldn't have had that, would they have had the same argument? The truth is, you know, righteousness came out of that in the context of it. But so cool, though, everybody, you know, of every race was in this war on both sides.
Wow.
So that means that the ones who were fighting for what's right in regards to the freedom to get the economy off the backs of the African Americans, and if they do, if it's their work, then that's their money, and they have the right as an American to enjoy the fruits of their labors, right? Of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's not for that person to, unless you pay them a wage.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it means that all races fought for the freedom of the slaves, that this is not right. And a lot of times, you know, people present it as if it was just, you know, African Americans that were fighting the white man for freedom, but the truth is, it had to be a lot of every race fighting to be able to free America from this lie, this constitutional lie that said that all men, you know, we declare that all men were created equal, and we weren't living it out, and for many years, and it wasn't until really Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did we finally come to a reckoning of the fullness of that. And now the economic issues, it looks like almost, you know, God's pressing America to deal with the economic issues of the past. You know what I'm saying? And of course, you know, people, if we're empathetic towards that reality, then we need to be open to whatever God wants to do to bring economic realities and a balance sheet to things in the past. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Totally makes sense. You know, our brothers are more important than money.
Mm-hmm.
And we want everybody to have a chance to succeed in America. And the last question for today is going to John. Here it is. Question number last from the U.S. citizenship test. What was one important thing that Abraham Lincoln did? What was one important thing that Abraham Lincoln did? John, what was, this is the last question for today from the U.S. citizenship test. If you want to be a U.S. citizen, you have to pass this test. What was one important thing that Abraham Lincoln did?
Emancipation Proclamation.
Wow.
Yes, he actually freed the slaves. He freed the slaves by an executive order, mind you. He wrote an executive order called the Emancipation Proclamation. The thing about his executive order was that it was constitutional.
Right.
It was constitutional. What he wrote was things that you can study about his history. He pondered for years, like, how could we oppress our brother? How could the same constitution not fit all of us? And when he finally gets to this place, he's able to bring the constitutional reality to everybody by signing the Emancipation Proclamation. But it was done in executive order. He didn't go to Congress and say, hey, you know, let's pass a law, or let's just change this or change that. He did it by executive order, and then things progressed. And we're seeing executive orders done in current administrations and ones before that they're actually violating our constitutional rights. They're even under President George Bush about the Patriot Act, where they're going into all of our searching our data and without, you know, violating our Fourth Amendment rights. Currently with the current president violating our Second Amendment rights and the things with different things such as that nature.
Yeah. And the FDR had like about 3,000, didn't he?
I don't know how many he had, but he was a violator of a lot of that, a totally lot of that. But this is three things he did. He freed the slaves by signing the Emancipation Proclamation as the president. He saved or preserved the united part of the states of America, the Union.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could have blown apart. We could have been two different countries at that one point. And then he led, and I believe if it did become two, mm-hmm. that the southern part of the United States would look like Haiti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the northern parts of the United States would look like
Dominican.
Yeah.
Where it's all that fruitfulness and all that. I think that line would have been drawn right there.
Yeah.
And we would have seen just something tragic. And the last thing he did is he led the United States during the Civil War. Imagine that. It's one thing leading a war abroad, but when your own brothers are fighting brothers, and his presentation and how he just balanced that and honored even both sides.
Yeah.
And brought things together and said things in a way that the Gettysburg Address and all these different things to keep us together. I mean, is that beautiful? Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
That's beautiful. And if you go to Washington, D.C., you can see a monument of Lincoln. I mean, he's one of the ones that really just made a huge difference. And he's also on the penny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do with him when they stop the penny.
I know. They need to put him on something else, too. I mean,
he's on the $5 bill.
Oh, yeah, that's true. When they take him off the $5 bill, I don't know what we're going to do. A penny used to get gum. Now it takes a $5 bill to
get
some gum. Yeah.
Right.
But well, that concludes today's citizenship test. Y'all did a wonderful, wonderful job. We'll be right back.
It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read His word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes. The truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says, and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors, and that maybe you have inside of you, the Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city, but you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us, that's Vine Fellowship Network, or VFNFamily.org. VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what He wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
You know, it's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing. But we found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN-TV and the daily radio program that there is a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN TV and VFN radio is through the social networking community. Over 1 billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about a dollar based on what we presently know, that when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words, all the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east as from the west, and you can be a part of it. Partner today. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. A dollar puts one person in the seat. Imagine $1 a month. That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting 5 people in the virtual stadium. Or $100. That's 100 people a month that you're sitting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged, because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John in the first hour. I'm just looking right now of all of our listeners from around the world. We want to just say hello to all of our listeners, of course, in the United States, but also the United Kingdom and Canada and Germany and the Philippines or the Philippines, Israel, South Korea, Pakistan, and Thailand and Denmark.
Wow.
I just want to welcome our worldwide audience. And I do want to say to our brothers and sisters in Denmark, we would love to be able to have some of you guys connect and just see what God will do in Denmark as we encourage the believers there. And we'll give a big shout out to Paul Dugard today. And I'm just feeling there's something there that's going to take place in Denmark. Well, many people are wanting so bad to do something for God. And there's a lot of captivity of God's people that when they even start making any kind of movement in that direction, the religious captivity just puts terror in them. And the captors who may mean well cause them to feel like following God and wanting to do something for God is a negative thing, and that it will bring negative consequences upon them. But it really is this: they don't know how to help that person. They don't have a grid, like a map has a latitude and longitude. They don't have a grid for how to allow people to grow up and be full and the measure of Christ into function, because you know the fivefold ministry, the five gifts that God's given the church is for the purpose of training God's people up so they can do the works of service. And the church grows itself up and builds itself up as each part does its work. But in our past generations, we were kind of like in a box. We're like in some sort of just, this is the only way it can be done. There's no other way it can, I'm not talking about world, you know, since Jesus, I'm just talking about the American concept of right. things. And people were just locked down over that. They just couldn't understand how that works. And then they would feel, how can I do that? I'm just a simple fisherman. You know I read the Bible. I know God speaks to me. I know that I'm called. I know I need to be trained up. I know I need something. I might not be able to articulate it. And the thing about it is when you are in the early stages of your adolescence, of your walk with God, you know you need some things and you're totally open to them, but you can't articulate them because you don't know what that is that you need yet. That's why you need those around you who have a grid to help you, that they want to see what God's doing in your life come to its fruition. And not just so you can say, hey, I did something. It's because you have something to offer the body of Christ that they need. God's doing something unique in you, that there will be a people group, there will be a revelation, that'll be something that God wants will do through you if you'll step out in obedience to God. But and so you won't, if you're in that adolescent phase of you know, you can feed yourself, but now you're moving into the adult phase of saying, I know I'm supposed to feed others. And you need to be around those that understand that. I wouldn't be critical of those who don't have a grid for how to do that. Understand that they don't have a grid. Or, you know, maybe they just felt captive to, they're just feel like success for everybody is if they just maintain what they have. And the truth is, if you don't give, you don't receive. If you don't let go, if you don't cast your bread upon the water, you're not going to get anything back. And The truth is that we're a currency. We're all meant to be moving continually in the things of God. And I really believe the Lord's just going to break a lot of people out of that kind of captivity. The thing is, you got to remember that if this is true in the context of what I'm talking about, you're still an adolescent in the context of being trained up. It's not that you're not called. It's not that you don't have desire. It's not that God's not speaking to you, you know, Samuel. You still need to be trained up. And so that understanding that your gifting can take you places that your character can't keep you. I see more and more of this new grid. It's not new grid, but just getting back to biblical grid happening. You know, I see ministers and fathers in the Lord and mothers in the Lord that are just saying, you know what? I feel success for me is helping other people achieve what God has had and has in their life. And to be there for them during this journey. And that's where you want to be. You want to be related to somebody in the context of that God's calling you to relate to. And then begin to mature, move from adolescence to adulthood and understanding that you're still related, mm-hmm. but it's time to function. Mm-hmm. It's time mm-hmm. to function. And you're not losing anything by being related. You're actually keeping something.
Yeah.
You know, you'll lose it all by yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you get connected to family and you know, which is the church, when you say family, church is family, church is family, vice versa, that this is where things are, and that's what will bring the third great awakening, if you would, or the changing of the mind of the Church of America and the repentance that has to happen. I remember when, you know, Brother Kim was telling me, and Charles Simpson had spoke about it as well, and during the outpouring that took place in the 60s, where so many people were touched, just right in the middle of their darkness and their you know, they called the hippie movement and all that thing was, you know, free sex and communal living and drugs, and just in the middle of all that, God just reached down and began to save one after another. And they would show up, you know, in a church gathering barefoot with 500-pound Bibles, the family Bible dedicated to God, which now are missionaries around the world and doing these different things. But it began when they began to come together with like-minded people and begin to pray. And he said they got together in homes and began to pray. They didn't, you know, try to do something in the present gatherings. Yeah. Of the church, they just got together in their homes, began to pray and began to seek God. And in that, that's when things begin to pour out, because the pain produced the push that caused the people to begin to check their theology. You know, how am I relating to God and what is God saying? Let's get a different grid here. They begin to pray, got the theology right, and theology pushes culture. And so with that, when we repent, that's what it is repenting, all of a sudden you'll find out that you are so much more to God when you understand you can help other people be more. You are so much better for God when you understand it's your life to help people be better. You know, if you want to get what you need in life, don't think about you. Help other people get what they need in God. And God will take care of you. It's amazing how that works. And then find joy in that. I mean, don't be thinking about yourself, because you're the wrong. It's just like, you know, if that was your last thing you did, and even if nothing came back to you, understand that you were successful.
Yeah.
You were successful in the context of reproducing and pouring your life into others. And maybe one more good way to describe that is, you know, every Elisha needs an Elijah. Realize there was a school of prophets going on at the time, but God did not pull from the school of prophets. You can't get what I'm talking about from some school somewhere.
Right.
Now, the context of if there is a spiritual father, for example, that you're related to, but he has a school, you're in relationship with him in the context of receiving that revelation, and it's in the context of that relationship and the revelation that releases you into what God has called you to. But if it's something about, like, you go off somewhere to some strange folks to learn some unique doctrine and they're going to go back to what you called was who you're connected and related to. It's just,
right.
They just didn't pull from the school. They pulled from the sons. They pull from the sons. And so you're going to have to be the one maybe that pours water on the hands of Elijah. You have to be the one that serves and realizes that's how God does what he does. But you know what? When we do that, then God gives you a double portion because it wasn't about Elijah. It was what God was doing. And God gave a double. You take everything that God was doing in Elijah and double it. And that's what God gave Elijah. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.